wow, Chris Morales is in a good mood. He said nice things about me. I don't know. And what did they do with the real Christopher Morales?
Oh, it just means that tomorrow he's going to be super negative.
Tomorrow he's going to bring it. He's going to come at me. Come at me.
You know what? I always feel uplifted when I hear that song.
He plays that song for me,
and then I get to hear myself say, what have I told you? And I'm reminded of that time just a couple years ago and at a hit podcast. Do you remember that, Mace?
It was a big hit. Absolutely. Now, are you ever going to do another one of those What If I Told You?
I think so.
Do you know what it's going to be about?
I have two ideas, and both of which are sort of in development right now.
Can you share them?
I can't yet.
You can't?
I can tell you off air.
Okay.
Until it's like green lit.
You tell me off air, then there's a lot of stuff happening.
There may be some more stuff happening with the Donald Sterling thing. We'll see.
Really?
What if I told you?
There's more Donald Sterling?
Oh, not in podcast form. We'll see.
What is his life like these days?
Same as it ever was.
Does he even know he doesn't have a team anymore? He was always in his own universe.
I think he knows, and I didn't see Shelly at any of the playoff games. You know how she has the seats, and I didn't
see her there.
But I know they watch all the games. I still talk to Shelly a little bit here and there, and she's definitely up on it.
Really? You and Shelly are text buddies?
Yeah, we text. She sends lots of emojis. She has great emojis.
Really?
She's an emoji person, and she's also a meme emoji person.
What's a meme emoji?
It's like, you know, when
she sends memes?
No, like there's a meme emoji. It's like a, you know what I'm
talking about? Oh, yeah, you personalize it.
You personalize your emoji. So like it's like somebody giving the thumbs up, but it's made to look like you.
Yeah, I got some of those too.
She's good with the meme emojis. I'll send it to you in a screenshot. You'll see.
Okay, cool. So I've got this question, and I may have asked it once before. The Dodgers, and I don't want to bury the lead. We're in first place. Dodgers in first place. Just make sure everybody knows we took over first place last night with a win over the Braves combined with a Giants loss to the Milwaukee Brewers. A.J. Pollock with the really big hit, bottom of the eighth. And just a great – the last two games have been just really good baseball games. You know what I mean, Momo?
Yeah. They've been really fun.
Giants 5-1.
Oh, what happened? Grand slam someplace?
It's 5-1, bottom eight. Giants
That's
scored
okay, Mace. Don't be afraid
four runs in the bottom of the eighth.
They were due to win at some point.
Yeah, Austin Slater hit a home run. So it looks like the Giants will win today, and we will be in that flat-footed tie with them as we go into that series tomorrow in San Francisco. David Price versus Anthony Desclafani. Saturday will be Julio Urias versus bullpen game, and Sunday it'll be Walker Buehler versus bullpen game. So that's your weekend in San Francisco, and I think the Giants, if we sweep them, I think that takes all the wind out of their sails. Their starting pitching has fallen apart. Their age has caught up to them. I think this is our division now. It was harder this time, but this is going to be number eight in a row when we seal this deal.
What if the Dodgers take 2 or 3? That's what it lines up as, because they have two good starters going against two bullpen games.
You're saying if we lose tomorrow with David Price in a bullpen game?
Yeah, or one of the two good starters. I mean, what if it's a 2 out of 3?
Then we got a one-game lead, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's over.
No, if it's 2 out of 3, I don't think it's over. If we sweep them, I think it's over. A 3-game lead, there's a huge swing between a 3-game lead and a 1-game lead, right?
Yeah,
so it requires the sweep, and tomorrow is the tough night because it is David Price, who has struggled, and probably you only get 4 innings out of, and you leave it to the bullpen. The bullpen's pretty rested. Blake Treinen will be ready to go. Kenley Jansen will be ready to go. They didn't burn the bullpen last night. So in a bullpen game tomorrow, and I always consider when David Price throws a bullpen game, I think we're in pretty good shape. Our relievers are fresh. I saw last night with Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser on Spectrum Sportsnet that the Dodgers in the month of August had a 2.25 team ERA in the month of August.
Wow.
That is crazy.
That's really good.
That's a crazy number. All right, so this is what I wonder about. And maybe these answers are out there and I'm missing them somewhere. But the Dodgers have a series of hand gestures that they do after hits. And they are, one, patting the top of the head. Two, making the safe sign. And three, making paw hands and wiggling their fingers.
What do those things mean?
Yeah, what do they mean? Jorge, do you know any of these?
Yeah, I believe a caller told us last time that the pat on the helmet means top this.
Okay.
So if it's a top hit or this. A double, top this.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's all I know. The other two,
what about the safe sign?
I don't know. Call us up.
What about paw hands and the wiggling fingers?
I don't know that one.
All right, if you know the answers to that, 877-710-ESPN, or even if you just want to speculate about it, 877-710-ESPN. I'd like to know what I'm looking at after we see a Dodger reach first base or hit a double, hit a triple, whatever it is. So hand on the head is top this. I like that. That's good. All right, on top of that, I wanted to bring this up. So, Momo, you're a little Daniel.
Yeah.
Your baby does not play, is not at video game age, right?
No. Although we do let him watch like videos on our phone, but they're usually like Cocomelon, you know, or
but I'm talking about, you know, like he's only three, right?
He'll be three next month.
Gosh. So he's not playing that. Call of Duty.
No.
Or Fortnite.
No.
So we've got kids in America who are playing tons and tons of video games. I actually went on a run. I'm a very sort of I go on runs on things, you know, where all of a sudden I'm doing it every day. I'm on a golf run right now. I get on different food runs where you have to eat the same food every day.
Me too.
I went through a period where I played video games every day.
Did you really?
Yeah. And it was like 3 years ago.
What condition were you in?
What's that?
What condition were you in?
I was feeling good.
Yeah. Okay.
As I should.
I understand this now. Okay.
And I was killing it on Call of Duty. Now, the Chinese are banning minors from playing online video games for more than 3 hours per week. They will also be prohibited from playing on school days. In an effort to fight addiction, and I guess it's an addiction, I don't know.
In an effort
to fight addiction, gamers under the age of 18 will be allowed to play only during the hours of 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays.
That's it. Wait, like 1 hour a day?
1 hour a day, Friday, 1 hour Saturday, 1 hour Sunday.
That's a little restrictive.
It is restrictive. It is, but I guess they can do that because they're, you know, they're the Communist Party of China or whatever they are, dictatorship, all that stuff. But do you consider video games to sort of ruin kids?
Yeah. I mean, I see Daniel with, like, the phone in his hand. And it's like he has the phone in his hand and he'll be watching a rhyme or two. He's even figured out how to slide it. Like, he knows how to scroll. He knows how to stop and slide it back. He knows how to watch it again.
Yep.
And the other night he was watching a rhyme. He likes to watch rhymes while he, like, eats. You know, just they're all educational. They're all fine. But I see that look on his face, and it's like this glazed look.
Yeah.
It's like that, like, I'll be like, Daniel, and he won't even look at me. Then I literally put my hand in front of his eyes, and he did not look up.
See?
And I'm like, you know what? No. We're taking the phone away.
All right. Hang on a second on that. We've got a lot of calls on the Dodgers signals.
Yeah,
let's go to Justin in Laverne. Justin, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, Momo. So we're a little bit off on that hand on the head one. The head padding is actually a basketball reference to being dunked on.
Oh.
So they're actually saying that they virtually dunked on the pitcher, per se. The shaky hands, that's barrels are overrated, meaning they got a soft contact, soft hit. You didn't need to barrel it up. They still
nice.
Like
yeah.
That.
And then the safe sign, that's where it gets interesting. The players are on the record saying that they will not release what that one means. So JT, a few of them have all said they're keeping that one in house.
So what do you have any idea? If you were to speculate, what do you think it is?
And honestly, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to side with the players. We'll let them do what they want to do. I don't know on that one.
Okay, Justin, thank you very much. Go to Mike and Downey. You're on 710 ESPN, Mike. Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Mason? What's up, Momo?
Everything's great.
So, I know the player said they won't say anything about the safe call, but I think I know where it came from.
Okay.
So Trevor Bauer was actually on the mound at the time, and Justin Turner had to pop at the third base, and he caught it, but then he tripped over the base and fell forward, and then Trevor Bauer put out the safe sign, and then ever since that happened, I know it's the safe sign when they got base hit. That's what I realized.
So it's just the safe sign when they get a base hit?
Yeah, but it originated from Justin Turner tripping over the third base bag after catching a fly ball, and Trevor Bauer did the safe sign on the mound, you know, kind of make fun of him like he's sliding because he tripped. And ever since then, I think that's just an homage to, like, Justin Turner kind of like making a fool of himself.
Okay, got it. Got it. All right, Mike, thank you. Let's go to Bryce in Oregon. He's got some insight on this. Bryce, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
Yo, what up, what up? It's good to be with y'all. Yeah, like everyone said, for sure, Barrel's overrated. I think that started early with, like, CT3 or Gavin Lux doing that. And then the safe sign, I've also seen it with, like, arms out, like I'm flying high. So that could be another signal,
I like
too.
That. It's like the airplane.
You know, as they're around the bases. That's right, that's right. Mm-hmm.
All right. Bryce, thank you. All right, so we know now head pat is like dunking on somebody.
Yeah, I like that. Although that could maybe get you hit by a pitch next at bat.
But as long as we're the only ones that know, it's okay.
Yeah, nobody's listening. Okay.
The wiggling fingers is barrels are overrated. So it means you squeak a ball over up the middle or whatever it is. You don't hit the ball hard,
Texas
but you
leader,
get a
yeah.
hit.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the safe sign is secret. The secret safe sign. The Dodgers, as Justin said, the Dodgers don't want people to know what that means. It's a private one.
Hmm.
You know, I want to go back to, actually, no, let's take a break. I want to go back to the Chinese video game rules. Are kids too addicted to video games? The Chinese are making these rules. 1 hour on Friday, 1 hour on Saturday, 1 hour on Sunday, and nothing on school days. Now, that is really restrictive. But do you worry about kids and video games? Because I'll tell you what, when I was a kid, you know what we did? We went over to Casey Reason's house. He had a basketball court in his backyard. We played basketball every single day. We weren't playing video games.
Yeah, my brother and I had a Nintendo. And I'm not allowed to play video games because I get way too competitive and try to break things and get upset. I'm not good at it. It's like me in golf. I couldn't do what you're doing, Mace. I couldn't do it. I don't have the patience. And so, like, I my brother and I got into it. We play, like, for hours. Like, I'd sit and watch him because I'm not allowed to play. But yeah, I think it's too much. Like, people get involved in these video game worlds, and it's like, it's not even reality now. This becomes
like
their reality.
You know what it is? It's checking out.
Yeah.
You're basically checking out of real life for a while. 877-710-ESPN. At the same time, there are kids making literally millions of dollars by being really, really good. I mean, it's an X Games competition. It's an X Games sport now, video games.
Wow.
Yeah. They're talking about maybe it being an Olympic sport
no.
at some point. Yeah, they are. Oh, they are. 877-710-ESPN. Let's do a little bit of that. Coming up next for you, the one thing I wanted to mention, too, is you can always reach the show in a bunch of different ways. On Twitter, at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E. On Instagram, it is at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E. And you can email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. For a while there, I wasn't checking email, but I'm back to checking email. So if whatever you want to say is more than 240 characters and you want to write an email, you can email us at Venice Mace. venicemace@gmail.com. And, of course, you can call us, 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And don't forget our big 710 ESPN station golf tournament is next Friday. I'm really excited for this. Am I really excited? I'm excited for the golf tournament. I'm less than excited about playing Ireland heads up for 9 holes at Black Gold in Yorba Linda. I was out there yesterday at the range, Mo. I'm almost every day now I'm going to the driving.
I'm impressed.
I mean, I've really applied myself.
Yeah, you're dedicated.
Derek Allen, the great Derek Allen from Rancho Park, is my teacher.
That's why you're losing weight, too. That's why.
It probably is.
You're out there walking the course every day.
So at the driving range, I cannot hit a wood to save my life. Can't hit a wood. That's going to be my problem. That's going to be my weakness. I'm good around the green. Can't hit a wood. But we're going to find out. I'm getting 26 strokes. Ireland has put $10,000 mythical dollars on me winning.
Wow.
I have put $10,000 mythical dollars on John winning.
Oh.
Somebody is going to win $10,000 mythical dollars. That's next Friday, and it'll be all over our social media.
I feel like you should have to bet on yourself, not against yourself.
And all that stuff. No, I would not put a bet on myself. You just haven't seen my game. See, I put some shots on some swings on Instagram.
Okay.
And
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Ramona's right, because if you guys are both betting on the other person, then you could just throw the game.
Yeah,
so
there's no incentive for you to win.
Do you really think, as competitive as Ireland is, or as competitive as I am, that we would deliberately throw the
yes.
I would like nothing more than to kick Ireland's ass in this thing.
I think you have to bet on yourself.
I could totally see Ireland being like losing and then turning around and being like, well, what I did was I threw the game, so I would win X amount of mythical dollars, but I didn't tell you that, ha, ha, ha. Don't you think is that something he would do?
Ireland is so competitive. I mean, a couple of years ago, you know the swim with Mike thing over at USC that they do every year? John and I swam against each other in a race we were scheduled to. And the idea was, okay, we're going to jump in the pool, we're going to swim, let's just see who wins. John went and took lessons. John was so competitive, and I didn't even get in a pool before this thing. John went and took lessons from Francisco Pinto's wife, who is excellent. I think she's was a professional swimmer or a swim instructor or something like that. So John kicked my ass because he secretly took lessons, pretended like he couldn't swim at all. Then he went out and took lessons. Ireland is so competitive, there's no way he's going to let me get off easy here. No way.
Mm. I don't know. You could talk yourself into it with the mythical money.
You know, I'm playing golf with on Saturday.
Yeah, not Stepdad Leo.
Not Stepdad Leo.
Will you post on your social media and let us know how you fared?
Absolutely.
How old is he?
80.
If you lose to the 80-year-old, what?
I have no chance against Ireland. If I lose to an 80-year-old Leo, I have no chance against Ireland. Although Leo's played most of his life. So he does have that
advantage.
He's
probably going to beat you.
I think Leo's got a great shot at beating me.
Because your advantage would be, theoretically, your physical superiority. But if you have trouble driving the ball.
Right.
That's not great.
That's my issue. That's going to be my issue. All right. So we were talking a little bit about video games and whether or not these are good or bad. I wonder if we're raising a generation of people too reliant on technology. Just too reliant on it.
I agree.
And we are all connected to our phones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you go anywhere without your phone?
No. Every once in a while, I will leave my phone in the car when we're at the park, you know, or when, I go swimming or something. But it's usually fairly close by if I need to get it.
When I went to Costa Rica, I'm going to be off the grid. I'm going to be off the grid. I'm not going to watch television.
I know you're checking
I'm not
your baseball
going to
team.
Check my phone. I'm not going to use my computer. And, you know, within 10 minutes of getting to that room in Costa Rica, I was on my phone.
Free Wi-Fi.
I was watching CNN.
Of course.
Making fantasy baseball transactions pointlessly because I'm dead last.
I know. We're struggling too.
It's really rough. It's really rough out there.
You're just trying to stay out of last. I understand.
But I'm helpless. There's no way I can avoid it at this point.
Yeah.
That's how bad I am.
Well, I mean, you know, there's still one chance for you. There's one person who's close in the bottom. You might be able to beat Bronstein.
Yeah, that's who I'm chasing. I'm chasing Adam Bronstein, who's now like the big broadcast guy over at the Rams. Let's go to Jacob and Oxnard. Jacob, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
Just, you know, driving on the road right now. But, you know, I was listening in and hearing Ramona saying that, you know, video games are addicting and they're not good for kids. But to me, I love video games. I love sports. But can you give me an actual legitimate reason why 2 to 3 hours of video game is bad per day, but 2 to 3 hours of sports per day, like sitting down watching sports, is okay?
Oh, that's an interesting question. So, like, for example, Saturday, there's a lot of college football. We're all going to sit around. Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch USC. I'm going to watch UCLA versus LSU. I'm going to watch a lot of football. So what's the difference between me watching games all day and kids watching playing video games all day? I guess that's mm-hmm. Jacob's point. What do you think, Momo?
Well, the difference in my mind, at least, and I was only talking about with my son. It's like he'll be watching these little rhymes on. They're just YouTube kids. It's
No, that's not really playing.
You're just getting
Fortnite
sucked
or...
into an alternate reality. And I don't mind him watching these kind of, you know, it's like Sesame Street or it's Cocomelon or Blippi or whatever. Like he learns from those things. But we cut it off after a while. As soon as I start, if he gets that glazed look, I stop. And I think when you're watching sports. Do you get that glazed look? Do you just sit there forever and ever, just totally zoned out?
Do I? When I'm watching the Red Zone channel on a Sunday, am I zoned out?
Yeah. Part of that is my recovery time. I remember, you know, before I had kids, I could just do that all Sunday. Just turn on the Red Zone and be like in the chair.
Isn't that what everybody does?
Yeah. Well, until then you have kids and you can't because the kid doesn't want to watch forever.
Or that 16-inning game that was like only 6 hours.
Yeah.
I'll admit, I did not make it to the end of the 16-inning game.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched kind of like the beginning and then the end.
Jorge, did you make it to the end?
I did. Uh-huh.
Good for you, man. Let's go to Solomon in Lake Balboa. Solomon, you're on 710. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm talking to you here in my car. Talk about technology, huh?
Yeah, they're
definitely addicting, man. And the difference between, you know, watching video games for 3 hours and sports, it's live. It's real people. It's life. It's not manufactured. And these games for kids are absolutely hypnotic, and they intend it to be that way. It almost becomes a drug where they have to have these things, this input every day. I mean, I'm going to get on a soapbox here, I guess, because I'm older, man. I'm from a generation where we didn't even have answering machines, okay?
Yeah.
And we lived. It was okay. We made it. We survived. No credit cards. I mean, life has become a very, very different game here. And technology, I'm telling you, you know, I always use the example. Teenage boys have a tough time talking. If you ask a teenager how's it going, he usually goes, you know, that's about a level of his communication. And if he's standing 3 feet from you, eventually he's going to say, can I just text you?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. Hey, yeah, Solomon, thanks, man. That's a really good take, Solomon. Thank you very much for the phone call.
Yeah.
I think there's no question it can be an addiction. I mean, anything can be addiction, right? It depends if you've got an addictive personality.
I've got a very addictive personality. I mean, Mace, there was a time, and I'm not proud, where I got addicted to these Facebook games.
Oh, God, those are so stupid, like Farmville and Candy Town and all that.
I was into Farmville, okay?
Oh.
I don't know how this happened. It was about 10 years ago, and I got into Farmville, and I started being, you know, like Farmville, you had to get to be friends with other people so that you could, you know, help each other out. So I have, like, all these, like, Facebook friends, and I have no idea who they are. I just got to be friends with them on Farmville, and I would literally, like, plan my day around it. I mean, it was.
Oh, that's
like,
an addiction.
Oh
right
man,
there.
I gotta harvest my crops.
Addicted to Farmville.
Oh my
hey,
god!
Hey, you, Momo, you want to go out to dinner tonight? Oh, sorry, I can't.
And my tomatoes are gonna be ready.
I gotta water the corn.
All right, 877-710 ESPN. 15 minutes. We've got Lindsay doing game of game. She is 1-0 so far in the month of September. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tell you what, this Giants series sets up just crazy important. The Dodgers and Giants are both, the Giants have beaten Milwaukee. They are both 85-49, tied for the best record in Major League Baseball. And tomorrow night, we're going to send David Price out there versus Anthony DeSclafani. Then the Dodgers or the Dodgers throw Julio Urias and Walker Buehler, while the Giants counter with two bullpen games. I feel good about it. Tomorrow's the game that I worry about, only because it's going to be our bullpen, despite the fact that our bullpen's been really good. And we actually just did a promo. I said, this is for everything. You know, I joke about that. I like to say this is for everything. But I think this is for a lot. It may not be for everything, but it's for a lot, Momo.
It is for a lot. I think if you sweep them, I do think it really, it puts the Dodgers in a really good position. I do think they'll win it. But if they go 2 out of 3, or even if they lose one, if they only go 1 out of 3, I don't think it's the end.
No,
I still think they can run them down.
If it's a sweep, we got a 3-game lead.
Yeah.
If we take 2 out of 3, we only have a 1-game lead, and I think it's a horse race. I would love to see him just punch him in the mouth. I hate the Giants.
I know
I just hate the Giants. You know, 1 year ago today, Momo, something special happened.
What?
A very, very great Dodger legend joined Twitter. Hit that, Jorge.
Hi, everybody, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you. This is Vin making his debut on social media, and it's nice to be welcomed. I'm delighted to see if I can't serve you in any way, shape, or form. We might chat about a famous date in baseball, or a player, or a team, and hopefully nothing controversial. This is strictly a meeting of friends having some fun talking about our favorite subject. So pull up a chair and be ready to join me, hopefully, in the very near future as we start our careers together on social media.
Now, why can't everybody be that nice on social media?
I'm telling you, I was very excited but also very concerned that even like Twitter would troll Vin Scully or something. Like people were going to say mean things to Vin on Twitter. And because Twitter to me is just an awful place most of the time, and you have to just learn how to have really thick skin. I just didn't want Vin to be exposed. I feel like about Vin, very protective of him. He is just an absolute treasure, and I don't want anyone to ever say anything mean or upsetting to Vin. So like by him putting himself on Twitter, I was like very nervous, but I think he's made it through. What do you think?
I think he has. I mean, I was just scrolling through his Twitter timeline, and it's like on this day in 1988, on this Jackie Robinson this. I mean, he's like, he's actually a really good resource. And I wonder what that mentality, I mean, he's such a friendly, warm-hearted, intelligent, thoughtful guy. So those qualities very rarely exist on Twitter. And I wonder what the mentality is. Like, if you are a troll, if you're like the guy that sent a tweet today that said, who cares about who would play you in a movie? They would never make a movie about you. Well, obviously, it was just, we're just goofing.
I know, everybody tweets me like really, I'm like, okay, thanks. People are like, oh, Rosie O'Donnell. I'm like, okay, thanks.
Yeah, but if you're that guy,
yeah,
what's wrong with you? Aren't you defective as a person?
You know, my friend said something to me the other day. I was having a tough day on social media. I don't even know what it was, but I was just like, gosh, I shouldn't let this get to me, but sometimes it does. And he was like, look, no functional human being is out there trolling sports writers or celebrities or whatever with their real Twitter handle. Like nobody, like, like somebody who's a functional person in their life or their job, like you don't have time for that, nor would you ever take the risk that that would come back at you.
Yeah.
Is that, do you think that's fair?
I think that's absolutely fair.
The people who troll you are anonymous, just want to get a rise out of you, just want to be mean, just don't think you're a real person, you're ever going to read it or that it won't get to you or whatever it is. I don't think anyone would. How many people would really put their name on that kind of stuff?
See, I would say it gets to me, but it never gets to me.
Okay.
That's the way I view it.
Ever or does it occasionally get through?
It really never does.
Yeah.
It really never does.
I think that you strike me as somebody who a lot of what you say on the air and a lot of what you do has to do with people's reaction on Twitter. So to say it doesn't get to you, it may not.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
You.
I react to and use a lot of content from Twitter, but that doesn't mean it gets to me. You know what I mean?
I don't mean it gets to you, but I was going to say, like, I don't think it gets to you like it digs into your soul. But I feel like you could, like, the way people react to things will determine how you feel about something. Like, you change your mind because of how people feel on Twitter.
I think Twitter is an interesting barometer for public opinion. But the one thing that I always point out is that most people are not on Twitter.
Yeah,
that's
right. We
live by it. Most people are not even on Twitter. So Twitter has an opinion. It doesn't mean it's the opinion. It's just Twitter's opinion. Does that make sense?
That's right.
Twitter's not real life.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are fun things to be had from Twitter. Twitter's to me is like crowdsourcing.
Yes.
It's a good way to crowdsource. You just put something out and see what comes back at you. There are plenty of nice people on Twitter. There are people who I get used to hear. A lot of our loyal listeners, like I get used to see. I see the same people tweeting us all the time. And I start to notice them after a while. And I make a point of trying to write them back here and there, or at least liking the tweet. But then there's people who kind of troll us, and that's what they get off on. And I actually had the only time I ever really respond to trolls is when it is somebody in my industry who is just coming at me, and it's somebody real, and it's like somebody who's, it's usually a younger. I can almost profile them. Okay, I'm thinking of who it is. Okay, it's a younger male writer on NBA writer usually, and. They're usually just like, don't think I'm ever going to read it or whatever it is, but they just come at me hard. And there's a couple of them that do it. And most of the time I just totally ignore it. But every once in a while, especially if it's somebody who's like, has a legitimate outlet, somebody who seems like they want to have more of a career in this.
Yeah.
I every once in a while DM on them and be like, you do know that I see these. And I'm just wondering what your objective is.
So you actually, the ones that get to you are the ones that are people that are fringe beginning in the industry.
Well, that's the ones that I'll respond to. Because I can tell they're trolling me and I can tell they think that I'm probably not reading it or whatever. But as soon as I call them out, I'm like, they immediately like run away. Like they just, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it like that. And what I meant was, I had so much respect for you. They just start, like they don't usually, and I always think to
myself, as soon
like,
as you respond to a troll, by the way, they change their tune completely.
Always. They just want to get a rise. But the ones I respond to are the ones who I actually think are legitimate people who don't realize how those words can affect your view of them, and if you want to be taken seriously, like in our industry or even in your own industry, just don't go around trolling people like that. It will come back on you. It will. Like, don't do anonymous things. Don't do things like that, assuming you're anonymous, because you're not.
It's funny how many times, by the way, that you get something nasty.
Yeah.
And you go, I like to click on the name.
Oh, yeah.
To see
who
many,
they are.
And usually it's an egg with 3 followers. Uh-huh. Like somebody made an account just to say one particular thing to you that was nasty.
Right.
You know, it's just. It's
John Ireland's burner.
It's loser behavior. Yeah, I have a burner. I have a burner account I use. By the way, this just came in. Dodgers rotation for this weekend against the Giants. And again, we're tied now. Giants did beat Milwaukee today. Here's what Gabe Kapler says about his rotation. He was asked, what about your rotation this weekend against the Dodgers? We're throwing Price, Urias, and Bueller. Kapler says, I don't anticipate a rotation per se. They got nothing.
Yeah,
they're coming
throw,
at us with a bullpen.
They're just going to bullpen games, That's going to be hard sometimes.
It is. I mean, I'd much rather face a bullpen than face tonight is essentially a bullpen game for us with David Price. Maybe we get 4 innings. Maybe we get 5 innings out of him. But then you're going to go deep into the bullpen. That's what the Giants are going to be doing all weekend long. I think advantage Dodgers. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games.
Ooh.
It is Lindsay's game today. She is up in the month of September. She won yesterday. We got that coming up for you next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Game of Games time. And in the month of September, Lindsay won September the 1st today. September the 2nd, we're going to build on
I'm almost
that.
Standing
it's
up
Lindsay's,
now. Ooh.
You got to see my stance. That's what I do now to get ready.
What do you do?
I stand up and I bounce.
It's like one of those video games
that's
where
I go,
pick your team, and then that dude is bouncing around.
Yeah,
so you pick
I'm like ready to go.
Like that.
That's
I
how
bounce.
Into
I got,
this
I'm
Momo
I'm
is.
Ready
right.
to go. It's game time.
I wish you luck, Momo. I wish you luck, Jorge. I'm going to play. And Lindsay, what's the game today?
Okay, so this is a new, probably weird slash different game that I thought of when I was reading this list the other day of hybrid dogs, recognized by the American Canine Hybrid Club.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they're very random. So I'm going to give you guys two dogs, and you have to guess what the name is when you mix these two dogs together. For example, a Chihuahua and a pug is called a Chug.
Okay.
I don't know if I need the stance for this game.
I've got dozens of these. Some of them make perfect sense. Some make no sense at all. So I would say this is one of those games where you're going to want to use Jorge's swag method.
Yeah.
And yes. just kind of guess. And you can use your name as your buzzer and give me a guess. And if you don't get it, then, you know, we'll go from there. I have a ton of these.
Let's
do it. All right. So let's see how many of these you guys can get. All right. Number one, a beagle and a bulldog.
Mason.
What do you think, Mace?
A B dog.
Incorrect.
Momo.
What do you think, Momo?
A beeble.
That is correct.
Woo!
Oh, whoa, swag. Guess. Straight up swag.
See? Yeah. See, you get it. All right. Number two. A boxer and a Siberian husky.
Mason.
What do you think, Mace?
A busky.
Incorrect.
Momo.
That's a good guess. What do you think, Momo?
A boxy.
Nope. Jorge, you want to take a guess?
A boxer and a husky. A bookski? I don't
know. No, this one is actually called a husker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
All right. Number three.
State dog in Nebraska. Okay.
A Cavalier King Charles Spaniel and a Bichon Frise. My brother has this dog.
Whoa. Mace. So it's like,
what do you think, Mace?
A Spiege.
Nope. A Cavalier King Charles Spaniel and a Bichon Frise. What do you think? Ramona or Jorge, got a guess?
Spaniel and a Frise. Okay. Spaniel and a Frise. Okay. Go ahead.
What do you think, Jorge?
Is it a Caprese?
Nope, but that is very, very close.
Ah.
Got a guess?
Momo?
Wait, so the second one I got, Frise? Frise? How do you say the second one?
Bichon Frise.
Bichon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've watched
Cabijan. Cabijan.
I'll give you that. It's Cavijan.
Whoa!
I'll give
it to
you.
Oh, look at
nice.
That.
Momo's up to nothing.
Bring out the cabbage patch now.
All right. A lot of these have poodle in them because I think they're funny. So I've got a lot of mixes with poodles. Okay. All right. This one is a bulldog and a poodle.
Mason.
What do you think, Mason?
Got to be a boodle.
That's correct. A poodle.
Got to be. I said with
certainty. That was funny. All right. Here's a good one. You guys may know one of these. You may not. A French bulldog and a pug.
Mason.
What do you think, Mace?
A bulldog.
Nope. I'll tell you now, Chewy is a French bulldog and a pug.
French bulldog and a pug.
A bug.
Something with a Frenchie, something with a...
Take a guess. Swag system.
Why am I so... Go you first!
No, you're swag. Okay, Jorge,
I don't know, why am I stinking?
Jorge, you got a guess?
You said a bulldog and a
French... A French bulldog and a pug.
A frog?
That is correct.
Whoa!
Frog or French pug would work there. All right. Couple more of these. Let's go with this one. You guys have to know this. A Labrador Retriever,
Mason,
and a poodle. What do you think, Mason?
I know this
one.
Correct. Good job. All right.
I knew
Mason
that one was
two.
Coming. I knew that I one was coming. I had a feeling.
That was probably the only one I would ever get.
Ramona 2 and Jorge 1. All right. How about a pug and a beagle?
Mason.
Okay.
Mace, I think you were first.
It's a peagle.
Incorrect. Pug and a beagle. Ramona, Jorge?
A Momo.
John Ireland has one. Ramona?
Momo.
What do you think?
How about a peedle?
Nope.
Oh, John Ireland puggle. Has one.
Oh,
yeah,
it's
you got
a
it.
Puggle. Puggle.
Yeah. It's a puggle.
That's all good. Oh, man, that was good, Jorge.
All right. Next one. Let's go with the Toy Fox Terrier and a Yorkie. Toy Fox Terrier and a Yorkie.
Mason.
What did you
say? It's a Torky.
That's correct.
Ooh, whoa. Mace.
Mace is taking the lead.
Talk about the swag system.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
3-2-2. All right. We'll do like two
what?
More.
I don't know why my brain's not working right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, let's do two more.
I like need to write it out or something so I can see it.
A pug and a Shih Tzu.
Whoa, way there.
Pug Mason. And a Shih Tzu. What do you think, Mason?
It's a Shug.
Nope.
Momo.
That's a good guess. Ramona.
Pug and a Shih Tzu.
Very obvious one.
Pugu.
It's a pug zoo. I'll give it to you.
All right. This one is it's Mason 3, Momo 3, Jorge 1. I think the next
Jorge
one
is 2.
Two, Jorge.
All right, so Jorge gets this one, we'll do the tiebreaker, right. And if not, then whoever gets it wins.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, let's find a good one. All right. A miniature pincher and a poodle. Miniature pincher and a poodle.
Okay.
It's a tough one. Jorge, what do you think?
A pinoodle.
Nope. That is a good guess, but that is not correct. What do you think, Mace?
A pindle.
Nope.
How about Momo?
What do you think, Momo?
A pinchu.
You guys are all incorrect. It's a penny poo.
A penny poo.
Never would have gotten that.
Man.
Okay, I'll give you one that's a little.
I'll give you.
Okay, all right. Here we go. All right, a Dalmatian and a poodle.
Mace. A Palmation.
Incorrect. Mona, Jorge.
Dalmatian and a poodle.
Think similar to Labradoodle. Dalmatian and a poodle.
Okay, Momo. Dalmatian doodle.
Incorrect.
Jorge, Dalla Doodle.
Dalma Doodle is correct.
Yeah.
All right. So the next three, one, three, three, three.
All right.
The next
this
one
all
wins.
Comes down to this. All right. A bulldog and a chihuahua.
Bulldog and a chihuahua.
Take a guess.
Mace. A bull wow.
That is correct. It's a bull wow.
Oh, no way.
What is it?
A bull wow.
Bullwawa. No, get out of here.
It's that's a not real. Look it up.
A bullwawa. Be able to breed it.
First of all, how is that ever going to happen? Like, I'm just thinking anatomically. How is the...
Well,
I mean, that little chihuahua is like... I mean,
the female would have to be the bulldog, and then the chihuahua would have to be the
aggressive.
The male.
All right, we got a minute. Lie of the day.
1 minute. All right. There is no lie today. I apologize.
He just forgot.
Jorge won.
I apologize. Lie of the day will be back tomorrow. It was really Ramona's turn to lie.
Was it?
I want to say something really quick. I'm not supposed to talk about this, but we're doing a producer switch at the station. It is management that has made this decision. So today is technically the last day that Lindsay will be producing Mason and Ireland. She will be producing Sedano and Cap starting on Tuesday, and Bergman is coming back to our show. Lindsay, I cannot express enough how much we appreciate all you have done for John and I. I think with you, the show has evolved in a good way. I think you've taught us a new way to approach the show. It has made a huge difference in our lives and in our careers. I consider you to be a dear friend, and I wish you much, much success. And I know you will be great with the afternoon, guys. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Mace. Thanks for saying that. I'm going to miss you guys a lot, but, you know, you'll still just be hearing me just a little bit later on. And you know that I'll be filling in because Greg's going to go glamping or something at some point. So
of course, I'll be back.
Well, I'll probably be on your show. I'll actually say yes to you if you ask.
All right. Okay. There you have it. There's Mason and Ireland. Coming up next for you is Cap and Clinton. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.